And we welcome you to this week's edition of Inside the Lines, the high school sports podcast here on Scoops with DannyMac.com. I'm Jim Powers, and, you know, having a lot of fun talking with a lot of the great football coaches. We're going to start breaking into volleyball and soccer here over the next couple weeks. It's hard to believe we're a couple weeks away from practices starting and actually 5 weeks away from the football season kicking off. And we're going to head over to a program that just had an unbelievable historic year last year over at Rockwood Summit, 11-1. Finished the regular season undefeated, and their head coach, Eric Stewart, joins us. And Stu, you know, what a great season for you guys last year. I know we talked towards the end of the year, and you were just so pleased with how your guys responded and played throughout the year. But I know that loss in the quarterfinal, it's kind of left that mark to where, hey, we got there. Now we got to figure out the next steps. And you got a great group coming back that will be able to do that.
Yeah, I think so. Thanks for having me on today. We've had a pretty good off season. The biggest thing we've been really needing to see step up is some leadership within some of these young guys that we have a very talented couple underclassmen groups, and that we lost some talented kids last year. Drew Crobats, Lyndon Woods, so is Mason Brown, both D1 athletes now. We lost three defensive linemen to go play at college. And then, a couple other positions. Doriante Turman was a really solid running back for us. Samad Monger is a really solid corner. And then Cam Pye is going to be playing sprint football up in Quincy next year. So, yeah, we lost some kids, but I feel like we're reloading pretty quickly with some very talented incoming sophomores. We've got some juniors that that last year were blocked and probably would have started in a lot of programs around the area. And now they're getting a chance to play. And then we've had a couple transfers come in too, of kids that we're pretty excited about. And so, yeah, we've got some guys, we're ready to reload. And hopefully, I don't know if we're repeating the same thing that we did last year. But we're setting ourselves up in a pretty good position. If they can start, some of these guys can start taking the reins a little bit.
Talk about the summer, and you talk about the leadership side, but what have you seen out of your guys over the summer in the various team camps and the 7-on-7s that have really stood out? And it's getting you guys as a coaching staff really excited with what you guys have coming back this year.
Well, we've seen, like I said, the depth of guys that we have, particularly at the skill positions. A couple of kids that have been standouts for us for a couple of years have been continued that. We've got Dominic Neninger, who will be a four-year starter for us, an inside linebacker. I think he needs to be on some FCS teams' radar, if not very high D2 level kids or programs. And he is, and he's gotten some looks there. Dominic Bentrop will be a sophomore or a junior for us next year in the D-line. He's already a first-team all-conference kid 2 years in a row, and he'll probably set our sack record pretty early next season. For a career, and we still got him for 2 years. Samuel Vu, slot receiver, has kind of really stepped up. And he's like in the St. Dominic 7-on-7 last week, he was uncoverable at times, looked really good. Caleb Young is a sophomore for us. He's the third of his siblings. I guess I've coached his two older siblings as well, and they all say he's the most talented one. And he's made some plays over the summer. Has some young offensive linemen that are really starting to step up. We may be starting only one senior there, maybe five underclassmen on the O line, but pretty high on them. And we've got some just solid kids that are coming back. And then we've gotten two transfers of kids that are pretty solid too. Grant Gibson's transferred in from Fox. Pretty good quarterback. He can sling it. He can spin it pretty good. And he's been competing with Kalen Stegman for the quarterback position over the summer. And then Javion Tiller from Lindbergh, who's about a 6'3 wide receiver. He can take the top off some defenses as well. So we've had some guys step up, and I'm pretty excited about them, amongst several other kids that have really kind of impressed us over the summer.
Last year you guys hung your hat defensively, and I mean, me and you talked about it, and unbelievable during the regular season, you guys only gave up 3 points a game, and You don't normally hear that, you know, especially with the schedule you guys play and some of the teams that you guys go against. And I know that's where you hang your hat on is, you know, if our defense does their job, our offense is going to put points on the board. Is that still going to be the mantra for you guys this year?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, you know, Diff, our defensive coordinator, I don't think he gets enough credit around the St. Louis area. The guy's been doing it for now 25 years. When he didn't get retained at SLU, we were able to bring him in, about 5 years ago now. And, the guy knows football. I mean, and I think he knows how to, he knows to get our scheme taught and he knows how to get them ready. He's probably losing sleep a little bit right now because we're so young in the secondary, but, you know, he's getting them there. I mean, they've shown improvement every week over the summer. And they're just trying to find the right pieces to fit in back there. Another kid that we're trying to two platoon. So one of his guys that I think he's probably wished he could have is Eli Stevens. Cause I'm trying to keep him just on offense. You know, Eli averaged 12 yards a carry last year. He'd be upset if I didn't mention his name too, but he's been kind of nursing an ankle injury all summer. So, but we kind of know what we got in him. He was a stud and we want to get the ball in his hands probably about 100 times or more over the season.
Yeah. I was just going to mention him after we talked about what, you know, and John Diffley, you hit it on the head. I mean, you know, the defensive mind that he has is just unbelievable. And he's done such a terrific job, you know, for your defense. But, you know, Elijah Stevens, my gosh, just what a dude he is for your offense. And you could really do a lot of different things with him. And I know that's what you guys did last year, you know, in running back and then maybe stretching him into the slot a little bit just to get the ball into his hands a little bit more.
Yeah, for sure. He probably only had about 60 touches last year. And I think he scored 16 or 17 touchdowns. You know, we were in the one game that kind of sticks out for me is the Parkway North game. We were down at half 7-0. We were really struggling offensively. And then like our first or second series out of the half, he took a 90 yard sweep, you know, and kid that can bust a game open at any time. You know, he's a big play kid and we're excited. We have him for two more years still.
No doubt about it. You know, schedule wise, you guys don't shy away from anybody. I mean, you've got a great schedule for the regular season. Everybody's still trying to figure out what class they're going to be in. I think you guys are still going to be in five if I'm looking at numbers.
It may be close, you know. Yeah. Our enrollment dipped a little bit. So we went down about 30 kids. And we were already in that top. We were on the bottom eight in class five last year. So there's potential we could be one of the biggest class fours too. We don't know and we'll play wherever. I mean, you know, I anticipate if we're in five, we'll see a similar district to what we saw last year. If we go into four, we might be in one with St. Mary's and Cardinal Ritter and, who knows, you know, like there's good teams everywhere and you got to win, you got to beat good teams in order to get further in the playoffs. So, you know, I'm glad. I think our schedule did get a little tougher this year. Which I think, some people going into the playoffs probably thought we were a little overrated going into that just because, you know, the schedule we had was one of the best, I guess, at times. But all the teams that we have on there have gotten better from last year. And then we added Marquette and Lindbergh into that schedule, both very, very good programs. And I know Marquette's got a lot coming back. So that's going to be a grinder game for us that second week of the season. I mean, we've got that one already on our calendar for sure.
Well, I mean, you look at the in your mid-September, I mean, you go to Parkway North, then you get Lindbergh, you've got Marquette ahead of that. I mean, that's kind of a meat grinder within itself in the middle of the season. But once again, though, it's games like that that get you ready for district, get you ready for the state playoff run. And I know that's what a lot of coaches are starting to, you know, lean to. And I'm glad that coaches are doing that, is they're working to schedule some really good non-con games. And, you know, that way it's going to get you all ready to go when you have to play the Jacksons of the world, when you got to play, you know, some of those other teams and different things along those lines.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. And I say, you hit it there. You know, we got Webster and I think they're going to be better first game of the year, and then Marquette, which is probably one of the better class six teams in the St. Louis area. And probably one of the best public schools, class six in the St. Louis area. And then you get Central, I think, and then North. I mean, Central's better. North's going to be good. They've got some studs up there. And Coach Oldenwald's getting them ready. I mean, they're growing as a program. And then, like you said, Lindbergh and McClure as well. Howard Brown at McClure does a great job with their program. So, yeah, we've really kind of stepped it up. We're excited about it. Just better chances to compete and get our kids full games. Like, I think one of our kids last year, we were pretty darn good. And we had a pretty good defense, obviously. So we got ahead of people. And so we had our starters didn't get to play a lot in some of the full games. And so hopefully, we need those full games. I mean, it makes you better, gets you in better shape. You have to deal with some adversity because of it.
Football in the St. Louis area. And Stu, you've been around the block. You've been a head coach now for 8 years and, an assistant for a long time. And one of the things that I've talked to the coaches already during the previews is just the state of football on the high school level here in the metro area. And I remember when I first moved here and first started covering football, you would get a handful of D1 kids. It wasn't, that extraordinary or things like that. But now you're looking at teams that have D1 dudes. And, you look at you guys, with Crobath and those guys going to Lindenwood, with them making the switch to Division I in the OVC. The high-level FCS schools, football in the St. Louis area has absolutely raised the bar performance-wise and different things along those lines.
Yeah, I think what you have is a lot of programs that have learned the kids thrive on high expectations and higher standards. And you see the programs that are doing really well. The public school ones that are doing really well, kids are staying in those because they say, well, I've got a chance to be developed. I've got a chance to play very good competition and be coached at a high level. And so they'll stay in those public schools when they have a chance. And if they don't, they have ways to go find private schools to go and play at. And that right there is just raising the level of that top end. And you're seeing some pretty darn good programs around the area. And like you said, you're starting to churn out national level kids as a result of it. Coach Pingle at CBC, what they're doing up there is, people complain about recruiting. They don't have to recruit because they get kids that want to be a part of that type of thing. He's built the program and the culture there as something the kids want to be a part of, and there's results. And so, I don't fall into that. I don't like to go into those arguments. If you want to, this is a Mike Diffley thing, probably know Mike Diffley.
Yeah, I know Mike.
If you're whining about that type of stuff, then you need to get better and you need to build a program that kids want to be a part of. And so I don't like getting into that game that some people like to get into and complain about. It's not productive.
The one other thing too, is I think we've got a great group of coaches in the area, great mix. You got the younger guys and then you've got the veterans like you that have been assistant coach and head coach now for years. And I think the coaching side of it has just gotten so much better when it comes to teaching and educating and showing their kids the right way to do things. And I think that's also added to the level of play here in the area just to really explode.
Yeah, for sure. I like to brag on my staff a lot. Coach Batchelor had 3 kids go and play college football after last season. John Diffley's been coaching forever. Coach Manson, our DB coach, Coach Edwards, both played at Central Missouri and SEMO. So, like, that defensive staff's there. On offense, I got coaches that have been around forever. Mike Kniff, been coaching receivers in the St. Louis area for a long time, has a long list of very high-level college kids. You've got Coach Behringer's, our O-line coach, who – we get a bunch of midgets here in Fenton. He's turning those kids into offensive, first team all conference kids. Coach Holmes, he's been here as our tight ends coach, special teams coordinator forever. And then Mike Brown, who's been coaching between Kirkwood and Summit forever. Like, We have coaches that have stuck around, and the level of coaching that kids receive in our program, I think that's something that keeps them here.
No doubt about it. And, you know, once again, I'm so impressed with, you know, just the level of the kids that we're seeing, you know, and I get a chance, you know, the last couple of years with COVID, I've had a chance to sit home here in my home office and watch games. Whereas, you know, typically I would just go to one game. And it's been kind of cool to see, you know, how the development has been, the fundamentals. I don't think I've seen a group over the last couple of years that have been more fundamentally sound, you know, in watching them play than what I've seen over the last couple of years. And maybe COVID had a little bit to do with it because of all the unknowns we had a couple of years ago. And one of the things in talking to a lot of the spring sports kids were you don't know how good you have it till it's gone. And I think that's kind of resonated and kind of carried over to a lot of the other sports. And that's really gotten everybody going in the right direction and saying, hey, you know what? We've got to raise the bar because you never know when you're not going to have football. Or you never know when you're not going to have basketball.
I think so. And I think you see a lot of parents that are now to the point where they want their kids involved because they saw it gone. And then they saw what can happen and they see where kids are struggling with their mental health and a lot of things like that, where now they're able to go and get involved in a program. They have mentorship then. They have adults that are caring for them. They have teammates that are caring for them. And it's helping the game of football. I mean, we have over 100 kids in our school right now playing football. That's roughly 17-18% of the male population. We have 128 kids in our junior program from fourth to eighth grade. Parents want their kids to play sports and they want to be involved in team sports and do things and be kids. And they're not necessarily worried about the injuries or anything like that anymore, because it's more important for them to be active and around other kids and be on teams and do those type of things than it is for them to potentially get hurt. And then when you have coaches that we are trying to develop in our program that are teaching them the right way to do it so they don't get hurt or, you know, scramble their brain or anything like that, for lack of a better term, you know, they're more willing to do it. So yeah, we've seen a lot of growth in our numbers since 2020. It's actually, it's almost like it's helped us. Sorry if you see my daughter there, she's running around. What do you need, Reagan?
Can I have Metallica?
Yes, you can have that.
How much fun are you still having coaching? And I know last year with that group, it was so much fun. You know, I'm sure on the sidelines watching it and practices. But, you know, after coaching for as many years as you have, how much fun are you still having coaching the game that you love the most?
You know, I leave every day with a smile on my face, even if we haven't not have our best practice up to our standards, because it is kind of it teaching kids the game of football, seeing them succeed. And once they do get that, it does feel good. And you feel like you're making a difference, not only just with the football side of it, but we're also having, we have mentorship with our alumni pro now, and we do all these other things that are beyond football and like in the relationships there with it. So like I was talking to one of our other coaches today, like, you know, life's getting busy. I've got a 5 and a 7-year-old now, second in the kindergarten. They're starting to get into their own sports, but, and it would be easier in my life sometimes in terms of the amount of time you put in to not be a head coach. But I have no desire to do that because it's kind of like a refuge, or it's a way for me to release a little bit and get out there and just run around in like a kid again every once in a while. You know, it's hard to think about not doing it. So yeah, I think the last couple of years have made me love it more and just kind of steeled my resolve, I guess, as though to keep doing it.
Awesome. Well, Stu, thanks so much for your time. I know it's a little bit busy right now. I'm going to slow down for a week during the dead period, and then we're going to crank it up here in a couple of weeks. It's hard to believe we're almost at the end of the summer. We start practices and we're going to start playing games here in about a month or so.
Yeah, right now it's physical and privet emergency contact form period, right?
No doubt about it, but good luck this season. I know me and you will talk quite a bit, and it's always great chatting football with you, my friend.
For sure. Thanks for having me on.
No problem. Eric Stewart, the head coach over at Rockwood Summit, joins us. When we come back out of the break, we'll catch up here on South City. I got to go to my neighborhood. Chad Masters, the new head coach over at Bishop DeBerg with their co-op with Hancock. We're going to talk about how he's going to be turning the Cavaliers program around after a couple lean years and having some great numbers coming out here in the early summer for Bishop DeBerg and Hancock. So we'll catch up with Chad Masters coming up after this. It's Inside the Lines, the high school sports podcast right here on Scoops with DannyMack.com. And we welcome you back to Inside the Lines, the high school sports podcast here on Scoops with DannyMack.com. I'm Jim Powers, and thanks to Eric Stewart, good friend of our stuff here with the high school sports caravan and with Scoops with Danny Mack, the head coach over at Rockwood Summit, for joining us, talking about the Falcons and the great year they had last year. Now we're going to come to my neck of the woods. We're coming to the South City area. Got to give Bishop DeBerg a little bit of love, and a good friend of mine, Chad Masters, taking over as their new head coach this year, going to build some great things over there. Chad, thanks so much for the time. How's the summer been for y'all?
It's been great. Busy, obviously. Been pretty solid. Really have had, honestly, just tremendous turnout from our kids, and a lot of kind of owning into what we're doing, which has been fantastic. It's a really solid group of kids, you know, both from Bishop DeBerg and also Hancock, who we co-op with. Just, you know, they're learning, they're growing, but, you know, they're really buying in and owning into that idea of showing up every day and doing the consistency and doing the work necessary. Still a lot of room to grow and go, and a lot of development still to occur. But I couldn't be happier, honestly, with the participation numbers and just wanting to be a part of it. So that, it's been good so far.
You know, one of the things, you know, in the co-op, you know, I'm familiar with the co-op with a lot of the stuff I do with Misha. But people in St. Louis, you don't see it very often, especially on the football side. You know, and with you guys in Hancock, you know, real quick, give everybody kind of a thumbnail how that's working, you know, how many kids you're getting from Hancock, how many from DeBerg, and how that all plays out throughout the football season.
I'm not sure when Misha actually started the co-op. It's been around for quite some time. We actually, when I was at Father Tolton in Columbia, and started the school and the program there, we actually co-op for the first 2 years with Calvary Lutheran, which was in Jeff City, just, you know, right next to Columbia. So I have a little familiarity with it. But in this case, yeah, you're right. In St. Louis, it doesn't seem like it's that common. I think it's becoming a little bit more common for some schools, because, you know, the reality is numbers are declining in a lot of programs, and it's a way for schools to still offer a great opportunity for kids, and be able to partner with each other and get something positive for the young men. So, you know, we're about around 50-50, 55, you know, 45, kind of, you know, maybe a little heavier on Hancock right now, but that's also, I didn't have a chance, really hired so late, to really get in front of a lot of DeBerg kids before it was, you know, I think the announcement was made during finals, and then every kid's finals ain't gone. So we're really probably going to pick up a lot more, coming, once school starts here, you know, at DeBerg. But, basically, you know, they come and practice, over at DeBerg, work out all that. We have the facilities for that, and, you know, they come over a couple days a week. We provide some bus transportation to help the Hancock kids out a little bit, get over there. Most kids are able to get over there on their own, but it's really been a point of emphasis for me this summer, is to really, you know, we've used a slogan, or you know, you go hashtags, you know, got the little hashtag, you know, I always put, you know, two schools, one family, and to start viewing ourselves as one cohesive family, even though we're coming from two separate schools. And the challenge also of being a faith-based school and a public school, you know, it's a great opportunity for the kids. But there's some things we have to navigate in there, out of respect of both communities. But it's been real positive. And I think we're getting to the point here now that the kids have already been this way a little bit, but as we've gotten more kids, they've gotten a lot more cohesive and seen themselves as a unit, as opposed to like Hancock kid, DeBerg kid. And we're going to continue to really consciously try to do things from co-branding. You know, we really try to change up the helmet design a little bit to represent both schools fairly equally, which is something I know that in the past, you know, it's complicated, because how do you take two separate color schemes? How do you take two separate mascots? I mean, there's been a lot of, you know, co-ops throughout the state that have always struggled with this. you know, I think we've done at least a pretty good job of kind of stepping through there of incorporating some things, both in the color scheme of DeBerg, but also incorporating some of the tiger type stuff of the mascot of Hancock. But it's going to be a constant effort for us to really try to, again, include both communities as much as we can. And again, the kids have done great. You know, they've done really good. Administrations have been real supportive on both sides. And it's again, the beginning of it, the baby steps of it, but I think it's a direction that's going to go really well for us as we move forward. And to really just build the numbers from both communities. And that's really what we're trying to do. Number one is build our participation numbers, keep them out, retain them, and keep growing the program year to year.
No doubt about it. And that's a perfect explanation of what the co-op is. I mean, there's a lot of schools that do it in other sports, you know, in swimming and in softball and things. But once again, you don't see it a whole lot here, St. Louis-wise, on the football scene. So, you know, it's great that the opportunities are there for the kids and for them to be able to do some different things. You know, talk about the summer. Obviously, you didn't get hired till late, you know, but still, you guys were able to get a lot of work in. Talk about how the summer's gone, instilling your offense, your defense, you know, coaching staff. You know, how has that gone in getting ready for practices that are going to start in a couple weeks?
Right, and it's really been beneficial because, honestly, the coaching staff outside of myself has remained pretty intact. So that's helped with familiarity and helped me also in kind of an onboarding of learning about the young men, you know, making those connections, understanding their families or, you know, and where they come from. And I've really immersed myself into that. The first half of the summer, prior to we took our mission dead period over the 4th of July break, I spent a lot of time in the first half of building relationships and just trying to, set the culture, set the tone. Obviously the X's and O's and offensive scheme was going in, but really try to build relationships and connect with the young men. The DeBerg guys already kind of knew me because I was in the building for the second semester. That helped a lot there, but learning also with the Hancock guys coming over. The second half is as I'm kind of saying like that little bit more of a demanding standard that we have to start reaching as far as a football standpoint and getting to the kind of the nuts and bolts of game, you know, metrics, measurables we're going to, you know, judge our successes on, to what's our practice standards like, to our training philosophies, all that. That's really taken a big jump up since we came back, and they've responded very well with that. Really, we've been going about 4 days a week. The 4 days of strength conditioning, what we call South City Power, trying to, you know, again, brand that, pull that in a little bit, and take pride that we're both South City communities, and really kind of, you know, embracing that idea of who we are. And two of those Tuesdays and Thursdays, we do either 7-on-7s or we have our OTA practices where we practice ourselves. And so that's really kind of where we've done our install of, you know, obviously June was heavy in 7-on-7. So we got a lot of our entire passing game is in. They've actually picked that up pretty well. And now we're real heavy in a run game now. And in July, where, you know, we've got pads, we're doing a lot of that. So again, and they pre-responded pretty well. We've simplified things a lot, really keep it as simple as effective. I've kind of bought into the whole minimal dose effectiveness. And also I'm actually, read a book called Essentialism, where it's basically like less is better sometimes. And I've fallen into that as a coach, you know, as a young coach, you're like, oh, let's add in this, and answer for everything. And I'm like, you know, and then you're wondering why your kids can't remember anything. We've gone the opposite way. And we've started with, hey, if I could only run six plays, what would those six plays be, you know, right. And then get good at those. Then we add our wrinkles in and our little if thens and everything else. And I think they've responded really positively to that. The comprehension's been pretty solid for them. And I think the familiarity with the previous coach staff and really only having to learn me has helped also in that. So all in all, they've done a great job. Like I said, the numbers have been high. I think we're going to have probably over 40 kids on the roster this fall, which would be great for this program, since those numbers have been, last year they were a little challenging at times for them. And it's just like I said, they respond. As long as we can keep those numbers up and retain the kids, we're gonna be in a great spot.
Talk a little bit about some of the kids that have really stepped up here. In the summer, some of the names we're going to hear, and I know there's a name that you're familiar with that we're going to hear a little bit about. I think he lives in your household. Maybe.
Yeah, I don't talk about him a whole lot. You know,
spin it a little bit. I mean, he's got a great future, and really excited to see what he's going to do with that offense.
Yeah, you know, there's some really, really dynamic players, you know, that we have coming back. You know, even looking on the if you look at the offensive side. We've got guys like, you know, Javon Sanders who played receiver and he's playing a little running back receiver, kind of a little bit of do it everything. He has done a phenomenal job this summer. And he's just one of those explosive kind of twitch guys. He's probably one of our fastest players, if not the fastest. I mean, there's a race for the top right now. Every week now we're timing 40s and ranking him and publishing it and recording it. And they're starting to feel it now. They're starting to get a little competition about who can move up and this, that. So a little fun we have with that to try to get him going. It's amazing what happens when you tell someone you got to time them, how much faster they run than if you just say, hey, run this sprint. Javon, Robert Hurd is back out. I heard he played before, but he did not play last year. Robert is an All-State track athlete from over Hancock in the long jump. Really talented, player, as far as just athlete. I mean, it's you can't coach athleticism sometimes. You can coach the scheme and the fundamentals, but he's got that raw base. I'm looking across the board too. I mean, guys, you know, Sean Pickens is coming back. He's got a lot of size and he's got good hands. Orion Hill, I don't think I've had a 6'5" wide receiver before. You know, I mean, this is a rarity for me right here. So guys like that up front, you got, you know, the Sides twins, David and Davion. There's another kid that's a DeBerg kid, got him, Latrell Floyd, who has really impressed me through the summer. He came in this year, hadn't played football, I think, since middle school, but he's playing now and has done a great job. So on the offensive side, AJ Houston up front, you know, some of those guys are really going to do a lot of good things for us. I will mention the roommate I have, lives in the room that the roof I pay for, next to mine, but that's my son, Jack, who, you know, was a quarterback. I also played a little defensive back, but I think he prefers offense more. I don't know. I give him a hard time about that all the time. If he was his father's son, he played defense. You know, if he was his mother's son, he's the quarterback. But Jack has done a great job so far. And him and another quarterback that are kind of are battling out a little bit, Muhammad Diallo. Muhammad. You know, forgive me. But Muhammad, him and Muhammad get along great. It's awesome when you can get a quarterback battle where the two quarterbacks actually coach each other up and help each other and are genuinely friendly to each other. Jack has got a lot of experience, especially within the offense. He's got a strong arm. He is actually a pretty good athlete and can run. He just looks weird because he's got long legs. It kind of reminds me of the old Brad Smith days where it seemed like, looked like he was running in place, but he just kept outrunning everybody. Jack doesn't outrun that many people, but, he's deceptively fast. But he's been real solid, I mean, through the summer. Even within the last couple of weeks, the other coaches have noticed how he's taking a little bit of a leadership role, too, on setting drills up and helping younger players and everything else. And he ended up having a really good baseball spring, ended up being an all-conference, all-district baseball player. So I'm hoping that carries over that confidence level into the fall for him. Football is one of his favorite sports. So I too, am excited to see what he can add to the offense with the ability to throw to keep teams, off balance. I do like to throw the football, so that ball will be in the air quite a bit. I think we have potential with him, and even Muhammad, we've even found ways to try to incorporate both on the field at the same time to really become more explosive offensively.
Schedule wise, some shifting in the AAA this year to where there's not going to be a football champion, so to say,
yeah.
Because of different things and, teams not being able to play each other. But I love your schedule because it's giving your kids a tremendous opportunity to be successful.
Right.
You're not getting run up against, some of the teams they've played in the past. Mm-hmm. And I really love what you and, Steve Betlock, your athletic director, have done in piecing together a schedule to where there's teams there that you can be successful and possibly get some wins.
Yeah, and I think that's the important thing, especially when you're trying to build a program. And coaches that were there. I'm just one coach in a line of guys trying to build this thing up. I'm not a savior. I'm not anything else. I'm just a guy that's trying to make an impact on these young men in this community. But I think the schedule is going to help us in a lot of ways, because before, as you build, I mean, I think I asked someone the other day, you know, when was the last time the program won a game? I think someone came up with like three seasons, I guess, because you got that spring season in there. And so for us to start, we do have to change our we have to become more competitive. I mean, I think it's the biggest thing. Like, fundamentally, we have to become better. You know, the ins and outs of football, setting a culture, all those things we all understand. But, you know, you can't just expect to go out and win a bunch of games right away. You know, we have to become more competitive game to game. And I think the schedule allows us to become more competitive and gain confidence. And as young men gain confidence, they're able to accomplish way more than probably could before. And so I think that's important. There's still some really good teams and some great coach teams on the schedule, but I think it does bring it down to our competition level a little bit, where it gives our kids an opportunity. We're still going to have to work hard. We're still going to have to push ourselves. We're still going to have to do a lot of things right to win a game. But I am pretty confident that through this schedule, our likelihood of being able to win a few games is higher, simply because we're becoming more competitive and becoming more confident in ourselves. And when those two things occur, you know, I think that will be better. So, I mean, for us, we got to start getting to a point where we can score more consistently in games, and score traditionally, you know, through offensive drives. You know, we got to be able to make a stop here or there. You know, I mean, you right. can't outscore everybody, but with that being said, I think this helps us out significantly to set ourselves up for that. It does not mean, and I told the young men this, you know, we're going to win a game. I don't know when it's going to be. It could be week one. It could be week five. I don't know, but you've got to keep working. But the things that we can focus on are now easier. So our metrics that we measure our game, you know, turnover margin, everybody does that one. But, you know, explosives, you know, can we get more explosives in the opponent? You know, we're shooting for 12 explosives per game and holding them under 12. You know, missed tackles, you know, are we able to get, you know, on the plus side of missed tackles? Well, we're missing less, but we're breaking more and getting, you know, those explosives, those missed tackles are going to be a lot easier playing teams that are a little bit closer to our size of school and to our level of play. And I think that's important for us. I think it's a big step for the program moving forward. And as you know as well as I do, once you start getting there, once you're not getting blown out, once you're competitive, you know, once you maybe win a game here or there, then it just starts compounding upon itself. And then the confidence comes, and then the participation comes, and then the, you know, everything starts rolling. And before you know it, a couple seasons later, you're in the mix, you know, but it doesn't happen overnight. And I think that's, you know, we didn't fall to where we are overnight, you know, and we're not going to climb to where we want to be overnight. So it's, there's a whole lot that goes in it. And again, I think that's just important for us to keep progressing. I talk a lot about stacking days, you know, like each day is an opportunity. We got to keep stacking days, stacking victory, just like in a game, you stack a win on each play. You know, you'll lose a play, you know, you'll lose a matchup, come back, win the next one, you know, and if you stack enough of them up, you're going to put yourself in position to be successful. And I think that's what we're doing here, schedule-wise, program-wise, with everything.
No doubt. And last question for you. And, you know, you had some years out in Central Mo, out of Tolton, moved over here. You know, the level of football in the state of Missouri, and I've been here for 18-plus years now. Mm-hmm. You know, you didn't see the Division I talent that you know, back then when I first moved here, to what we're seeing now. The level of football in the St. Louis metro area has just absolutely raised the bar to an unbelievable height. And especially last year, three state champions coming out of this side of the state. And this team in the final against Webb City, that I still say if they had their starting quarterback, they beat Webb City in that game.
That would have definitely made things way different.
Yeah, no doubt about it.
I was at that game too. Yeah, I was like, ooh, this. If that kid was here, this might have been a little bit different. Yeah,
but the level of play, and I think between the kids and the buy-in that they have with being successful, and the coaches, I think we've got a great group of coaches that are teaching the fundamentals and doing everything the right way, like yourself, and you know a lot of the younger guys that are taking over programs, and I really think that's helping build what's turning into must stops now for Power Five schools to come to St. Louis and check these kids out.
Yeah, I agree. You know, I spent outside of the last three seasons, you know, bulk of my career in mid-Missouri, and actually the entire part of my career. I'm a mid-Missouri guy. You know, I'm over there from the part of the state people forget about, but you know, and I learned a lot of good lessons out there. I was actually counting this up. I was talking to somebody the other day. I had the blessing. At times I thought it was a curse when I was a young coach, but it really is a blessing now, that I've coached with five Hall of Fame football coaches in my career, either with or for. And like I said, as a young guy, you know, you're kind of like when you're ready to take on the whole world and they're telling you, nope, you're going to keep coaching, you know, JV team, whatever. And you're like, well, I can be a coordinator, you know, but those guys are still guys I call on as friends and mentors to myself. And that being said, I was out there able to learn football from a football standpoint, the things that I believe fundamentally, when you cut it all away, you know, win football games and build programs, things like accountability and commitment and toughness and physicality, you know, and every day you're working fundamentals, you're working blocking, tackling, all those things that sometimes we forget about. That was ingrained in me in my kind of maturation as a coach there. I moved to St. Louis, and now I'm seeing, instead of maybe just once or twice a year when we play someone from out, you know, in St. Louis or in Kansas City, I now saw talent that I have never seen or coached against week to week, not just, you know, once a season. Now you're seeing guys that are legit Power Five guys every week. You know, that's a whole new level of coaching, you know, mentality and philosophy and how do you deal with that? But what I think what's been nice is with that, I can blend the, you know, coaching against that, but also with what I brought from my past. And I do agree with you. I think in this city, the amount of talent playing, you know, across the city and its surrounding communities, is at an all-time high. I don't know if I've seen it to this level for this consistent amount of time, which is a great thing for the game and a great thing for just football in general. And like you said, it does make it a must-stop location, which is great for all the kids. So I'm a firm believer in the tide rises all ships. So if somebody's stopping because this school's got two or three guys they want to look at, well, they're not going to waste their time. They're going to go visit two or three other schools while they're there. And it gives everybody an opportunity to get seen. So I think it's a great thing. And I do believe that the coaching level in St. Louis has gotten significantly better too. I think there's a lot of really good coaches that are around my age, that kind of middle career. There's some, obviously some of the older guys have been around, have done a great job, and there's still a lot of amazing retired coaches in the area that we can all reach out to and pour into. And we got some good young ones coming up too, you know? So I think when you combine the talent level with the rising coaching standards and the community supports for their programs, I think you're starting to see that connection of all things to seeing the success that we have as a region and the rest of the state of Missouri. You know, I don't get caught up in the St. Louis versus everybody kind of thing. I like it a little bit, you know, it's kind of fun. I like the underdog type thing, but I do think that the product that we're putting out now as a community, as a total St. Louis region, is getting significantly better, and I'm excited to be a part of that and hope to contribute to continue to make it better. And more importantly, to make it a great experience for our young men, whether they are the Power Five guy or the guys who's going to go to college or a trade school after he graduates. You know, I think there's great opportunity there for all of us. So it's been a great journey so far as a coach, you know, and to be where I'm at. And I absolutely love this community I'm coaching in now. I really do. It's awesome to get back kind of, it's like the best of both worlds. I can be in St. Louis, which is a community I've really grown into love over the last 3 years, and still coach small school football, which I didn't realize how much I missed that, you know, until I got back in it. I was kind of like, man, it's kind of nice to have, you know, small school football again. And the small school football problems and challenges and benefits, and, you know, it's been a lot of fun, you know, in general. And my wife even told me the other night, like she said, when I've come home, every night this summer, I just seem to be in a lot better space, you know.
Yeah.
Relaxed, still the intensity that I always have, but like I just seem more like I've left it behind. I'm a little more relaxed and a little bit more back to my authentic self, I guess, in a way.
That's awesome, Coach. Well, I know it's a busy time as you guys are getting ready to wrap up your summer stuff, and it's hard to believe practice is 2 weeks away and going to get cranked up in 5 weeks on Friday night. So I can't wait to get down to see you guys play. It's going to be a lot of fun, and I know you're going to do some terrific things over at DeBerg, man.
Yeah, I appreciate it, and I appreciate you and what you're doing here for the sport in this community. I'm blessed to be part of this. I'm blessed to be part of DeBerg and Hancock, and I'm going to have some fun this fall. I mean, I don't know where we're going to go with it, but we're going to go somewhere, and we're going to have some fun doing it. We're going to compete. I know that. So I apologize to all the listeners. I'm a long-winded fella. you get me talking, I'll talk for a year. So
you're fine. You can put it this way. More of you, less of me on the podcast is so much better sometimes. So
I'm not sure I gave him anything all that interesting, though. I think it was a lot of rambling.
I think you did great, Coach, but I appreciate you, buddy. And I know we'll definitely be talking throughout the year. Have a lot of fun, and I'll definitely be seeing you guys on Friday nights.
All right. Thank you. Yeah, have a good day.
Chad Masters, the head coach at Bishop DeBerg, joins us. We want to thank him. We want to thank Eric Stewart from Rockwood Summit for joining us on this week's edition of Inside the Lines, a high school sports podcast on ScoopsWithDannyMac.com. Next week, we'll continue with our football previews. Also, we're going to be diving into some volleyball, some boys soccer, and some softball as well, as we're starting to get some questionnaires in from their coaches as well. And, we're going to start talking to them and doubling up on the podcast starting next week. So a lot of great things going on here as we start to ramp up. Practices are coming up and games are about 5 weeks away. So it'll be a lot of fun. Thanks for tuning in Inside the Lines, the high school sports podcast right here on ScoopsWithDannyMac.com. I'm Jim Powers, and we'll talk to you next week.